BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. We are having a news roundup day here today in that tomorrow, on the anniversary of 9/11, we are anticipating Shahram Haidian to be joining us for the program tomorrow as we remember 9/11/2001. So we invite you to join us for not only that program, but to stay with us today as Sandy's put together a number of stories to bring to our attention today that certainly bear our understanding of what's taking place in our nation and our world. So many issues that go unreported or have such a sharp left bias that happen through the media. So today we certainly will give a different perspective on the issues that are taking place. We're going to begin with a story from the Western Journal. President Trump announcing, you heard several days ago, Serbia and Kosovo have normalized now economic ties as part of a U.S. broker talk that include Belgrade moving its Israeli embassy to Jerusalem. President Trump said from the Oval Office, I'm so pleased to announce a truly historic commitment, and Serbia and Kosovo have each committed to economic normalization. And we find also that in the wake of that, that President Trump has been nominated for Nobel Peace Prize for his landmark efforts to bring peace to the Middle East through this groundbreaking agreement that established relations between Israel and also the United Arab Emirates. The agreement made the UAE only the third Arab country to recognize the existence of the State of Israel, according to the BBC. And for his merit, I think this has done more trying to create peace between nations than most other Peace Prize nominees, said a member of the Norwegian parliament who nominated President Donald Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize. The Daily Signal, President Donald Trump publicly added some 20 names yesterday to his list of candidates for the Supreme Court, including six women, three Senate Republicans, and a state attorney general. Also new to the list are prominent government lawyers who haven't served as judges, saying every one of these individuals will ensure equal justice, equal treatment, and equal rights for citizens of every race, color, religion, and creed. President Trump said to the White House, together we will defend our righteous heritage and preserve our magnificent American way of life. Some of the politicians on that list were Senator Tom Cotton, Senator Ted Cruz, and Senator Josh Hawley, a number of federal appeal court judges and other government officials, as well as federal district judges and even a state Supreme Court justice. That would be Carlos Muniz of Florida Supreme Court. Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel said through the appointed and subsequent confirmations of hundreds of capable federal judges, President Trump has reshaped the federal judiciary, creating a judicial legacy that will last for decades to come. Since his inauguration, President Trump has appointed and has confirmed more judicial nominees than any other president. He has appointed over 200 federal judges, including more than 50 appeals court judges and two Supreme Court justices. To put the number of appeals court judges in perspective, President Obama appointed 55 appeals court judges during his entire 8 years as president. That's 55 for Obama, and in one term, President Trump, 50 appeals court judges. Currently, one quarter of all active federal circuit court judges were appointed by President Trump. Because of the appointments, the 2nd, 3rd, and 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals have a Republican-appointed majority, and President Trump has reshaped the 9th Circuit, which has been notoriously dominated by Democratic appointees, says Matt Staver. He went on to say, we are witnessing unparalleled attacks on our Constitution and leaders abandoning the rule of law. A commitment to originalism and judicial restraint is critical. That's Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. Pamela Geller issued a statement regarding an article in the Atlantic's in that the Atlantic editor has conceded that the central claim of his Trump hit piece could be wrong. It was clearly a big fat lie. The military has no better friend than Donald Trump. Matter of fact, they mentioned the story in the Atlantic. Editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg asserted that multiple senior White House staffers heard President Trump express a desire to cancel his visit to the cemetery because, quote, it's filled with losers. That's what the anonymous source supposedly said, and the Atlantic reporting it. But even though the editor has now conceded the central claim of this Trump hit piece could be wrong, Pamela Geller says it doesn't matter. They accomplished their goal to spread the lie far and wide and dictate the national dialogue. It was clearly a big, fat lie. The military has no better friend, supporter, and cheerleader than our beloved commander-in-chief. The real question is, how long are we going to let the left dictate the national conversation every day? The White House also denounced the piece in The Atlantic, calling it a patently false and offensive fiction. Sounds like the gaslighting we talked about yesterday. FoxNews.com reporting that one wounded veteran speaking out against this image on social media platforms, perpetuating a story that he believes is false, made up by Democrats for political gain. And we're talking about Bobby Henline. He is a four-tour Iraqi war veteran. And I was talking to Fox News saying, I'm just so irritated that they put my image up there because now it looks like the president called me a loser. And they're using that to sell something that they believe in for their agenda. It's not fair to put us veterans as props in the middle of all of that. Henline is a lone survivor out of five soldiers in an IED blast in Iraq. Now dedicates his life to spreading laughs through comedy and positively by speaking about veterans issues. But he took to Instagram criticizing those using him in order to spread their own propaganda. Just one big fat lie. Let's look at the Washington Free Beacon. Joe Biden's former White House stenographer said the vice president's public speaking ability has deteriorated significantly since leaving office to the point where he's not the same Joe Biden. It is a complete difference from what we saw in 2017, said Mike McCormick, who worked as a White House stenographer for 15 years and with Biden from 2011 to 2017. In an interview with the Washington Free Beacon, said he's lost a step and he doesn't seem to have the same mental acuity as he did 4 years ago. He doesn't have the energy. He doesn't have the pace of his speaking, McCormick said. He's a different guy. The American Thinker saying during a meeting with Kenosha, Wisconsin community leaders, Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said that a black man rather than Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. We had a caller last Friday on that. Here is the quote. People fear that what is different, we've got to, for example, and I'm taking out a spot where he took God's name in vain, but he said we don't teach history in history classes. A black man invented the light bulb. He said not a white guy named Edison. There's so much. Did anybody know that? What really happened? That Black Wall Street in Oklahoma was burned to the ground? Well, as the American Thinker goes on to say, it was Edison who first invented the light bulb in a filament that could last 1,200 hours. Edison secured patents for the incandescent light bulb in 1879 and 1880, but was likely referring that Biden was likely referring to Lewis Howard Latimer, who patented an improved version of an incandescent light bulb in 1881. This is after Thomas Edison had that his light bulb could last even longer than Edison's. Coming to us from Western Journal, Minnesota Republican nominee Jason Lewis said that even a state with as liberal a track record as Minnesota, it's shifting ground. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton defeated Trump in Minnesota by roughly 44,000 votes in 2016, but Lewis thinks that Trump's chances of winning the state keep improving, saying it's sort of a microcosm of the entire country. As the urban liberals become a little bit more crazy, it drives everybody else into Trump country and red country, Lewis said. Lewis indicated the law and order message that Republicans are supporting resonates with voters after a summer of riots. Another story coming to us from WND.com, former Barack Obama CIA director John Brennan set up his own secret task force to investigate Donald Trump before the FBI began its Russian collusion probe, according to investigative reporter Paul Sperry. The Brennan task force, operating out of CIA headquarters in Langley on a separate budget, was discovered in the investigation of the Obama Russian probe by the U.S. Attorney John Durham, Sperry said. Sperry's reporting was backed up by reporter Adam Hoosley, who tweeted that Brennan had been doing this well before Trump. Also from WND, Mark Meadows, saying that additional documents spell real trouble for the top FBI officials. You see, these additional documents have surfaced that spell trouble for officials in the Obama administration's probe of Trump-Russian collusion, according to Mark Meadows. saying additional documents have been able to review say that a number of the players, the Peter Stroiks, the Andy McCabes, the James Comeys, and even others in the administration previously are in real trouble because of their willingness to participate in an unlawful act, and I use the word unlawful at best. It broke all kinds of protocols, and at worst, people should go to jail, as I mentioned previously, Meadows said. But Adam Schiff saying, well, we're going to launch yet another Russian probe. That's right. WND.com reporting that Adam Schiff played a leading role in the impeachment hearings of President Trump based on an anonymous whistleblower complaint. Now Schiff says he's got another whistleblower complaint, and he's going to investigate it. Get ready, folks. Put on your seatbelts. Schiff alleges officials at the White House and the Department of Homeland Security suppressed intelligence reports of Russian election interference. He said former intelligence and analysis acting Undersecretary Brian Murphy filed a whistleblower reprisal complaint. He said, we've received a whistleblower complaint alleging DHS suppressed intel reports on Russian election interference, altered intel to match false Trump claims, and made false statements to Congress. Schiff wrote on Twitter yesterday, we will investigate. Okay, from the Free Beacon again, liberal billionaire George Soros funding a multi-million dollar effort to turn out women voters for Democrats in battleground states. Supermajority, a progressive women's group, launching a $10 million campaign targeting women voters in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Arizona. Its super PAC is funded almost entirely by Democracy PAC, which is fully funded by Soros. Of the 2.5 million supermajority has raised so far this cycle, 2 million has come from the Democracy PAC, Federal Election Commission records are showing. Soros' cash contributions to 2020 efforts set forth by the Democracy Alliance, a powerful donor network the billionaire co-founded. Wealthy liberal donors in the club, which has injected nearly $2 billion into progressive causes since its founding, vowed to pour $275 million into the 2020 elections. Let's go on to COVID. Here we have the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons contending that the FDA cares more about its power over drug stockpiles than the lives of Americans. And WND.com has picked up on the story. AAPS has sued the FDA for withholding from its strategic national stockpile supplies of hydroxychloroquine, a drug that many studies show reduces the impact of coronavirus. Defendants care more about their power over the HCQ stockpile than the lives being lost daily without access to it, they argue in their case. In its filing, the AAPS of the FDA holds 60 million doses of HCQ donated for the purpose of treating COVID-19 patients. Experts such as Yale professor Dr. Harvey Rich believe that release of HCQ could save 50,000 to 100,000 lives. The FDA argues its decisions are not reviewable by a federal court. Sandra Whittington was a resident of Shelby County, Tennessee, reports Western Journal. That includes Memphis. And their local health department reportedly that she tested positive for COVID-19 after taking the test June 20th. Well, the issue is that she passed away in hospice. Hospice care at a friend's home on February 16th after a battle with chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. According to KTHV-TV in Memphis, it's been 6 months, almost seven, since she passed away. There was no testing that was done at that time. Her death certificate said she died from COVID-19, but from COPD. But she got a letter dated August 20th that she had died of coronavirus. Folks, that's why these numbers are so suspicious. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how old are the glaciers of Greenland?
You know, Chris, the glaciers of Greenland are many thousands of feet thick, leading many to conclude that it would take long periods of time for the snow to build up. Well, here's something to think about. Two American planes from World War II had to be abandoned on a Greenland glacier. Some 50 years later, a group went back to try and find and restore those now rare aircraft. It turned out they were buried beneath 250 feet of solid ice. Obviously, it doesn't take many thousands of years to build up that huge thickness. The expeditioners retrieved one of those planes and have now restored it, and it can be seen at air shows around the country. Chris, when we see this plane fly, we can enjoy the fact that this is just another evidence that the Back to Genesis truth of creation is accurate.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
We've got a news roundup today on Crosstalk again. Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be dealing with the 19th anniversary of 9/11. Shahram Haidian scheduled to be with us on the program if all goes as planned. Yeah, it's amazing here with this COVID death. Here we have a woman that had been dead for 6 months and supposedly had a test in June, even though she passed away in February. I mean, just imagine this. This with the local TV stations. Imagine your mother's been dead for 6 months, but she gets a letter saying she's been diagnosed with COVID-19 from a test supposedly taken in June, but she died in February. And people wonder, you know, anytime you put out news out there and Facebook and other social media platforms, oh, no, you're giving misinformation. Misinformation, lies, doesn't meet, guidelines of the World Health Organization or the CDC. But, folks, the cases like this are happening all the time. Multiple such reports have come in. Western Journal, a rash of false positive coronavirus tests has led the University of Arizona to issue an apology to student athletes who claimed had the virus but did not. The university reported last Thursday that 13 student athletes had tested positive for COVID-19, a single-day record for the school. However, 3 days later, the Arizona Athletics said in a statement that the actual number of positive tests was just 2. That means the initial numbers inflated the total by more than 600%. After concluding an exhaustive contact tracing protocol, the medical director for Arizona Athletics requested additional testing of the examples, stating that the contact history reports did not support the positive test results. Some people are giving positive tests just because they've come in contact with somebody. There have been families, we've had people indicate that there have been families, whole families, that is, if one person in that household is tested positive, that every member is listed as positive as far as statistics are concerned. Something's wrong there, folks. From townhall.com, here's another thing. The Sturgis rally, hundreds of thousands of COVID cases, we're told about there. Guess what? Fiction. A new study from the Institute of Labor Economics claims that a motorcycle rally held in Sturgis, South Dakota last month had resulted in hundreds of thousands of COVID cases. First, using these anonymous cell phone data from SafeGraph Incorporated, we document that smartphone pings from non-residents and foot traffic at restaurants and bars, retail establishments, entertainment venues, hotels, campgrounds, each rose substantially in the census black groups hosting Sturgis rally events, starts the 63-page study. Researchers found in the counties nationwide who had a lot of Sturgis attendees, the COVID-19 case count in their home counties increased about 10.7% about a month before, a few weeks after the rally. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem labeled the report and the breathless media reports about it as science fiction. The report isn't science, she said, it's fiction. Under the guise of academic research, it's nothing short of an attack on those who exercise their personal freedom to attend Sturgis. By the way, shocking news from Breitbart. Joe Biden admitted his own national mask mandate proposal is unconstitutional. He admitted on Monday that his own proposed national mask mandate is unconstitutional. Repeatedly, he has called for a federal mandate, often using it as an example of what we would do differently about the coronavirus than President Trump, who Biden claims failed to act. But he told CBS 5 in Arizona there is a constitutional issue whether the federal government can issue such a mandate. He added, I don't think constitutionally there could, so I wouldn't issue a mandate. During the Democratic National Convention, Biden explicitly called for a national mask mandate, saying we'll have a national mandate to wear a mask. He even linked wearing a mask to being patriotic. Speaking of masks, from faithwire.com, Gary Dean, a U.S. Air Force veteran living in North Carolina, told a local news station that his employer ordered him to remove his American flag face covering while he was working. Rather than kowtow the order from his bosses at the Food Lion in Havelock, North Carolina, the 69-year-old man just quit. He said, as a veteran, my dad being a World War II hero, my best friend killed in Vietnam, out of respect for them, I can't just say I'll take my flag and put it in my pocket. I had to quit out of principle, he said to WCTI television. He said a food line manager pulled him aside to tell him his patriotic face covering violated the retail chain's policies. For his part, Dean said he was confused why anyone would find offense with his American flag-themed mask. Western Journal reporting of an anti-mask protest in Spain grew heated Sunday when police tried to arrest one woman who refused to wear a mask. The unidentified woman taken into custody in Madrid, according to the UK Daily Mail. A video posted on the Daily Mail site showed several police officers wrestling with this woman. In the course of trying to get her into the car, they hit her head on the roof of the vehicle. "I'm not going to put on the face mask," the woman called out. A group that looked like six police officers moved to take her into custody. She struggled as she called for onlookers to film the scene. The march drew about 500 people, with police saying 110 of them were not wearing masks. Let's go to Michigan. From CNSNews.com, on Wednesday, yesterday, Democrat Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued an executive order. Listen to this. Her executive order requires all organized sport athletes competing in sports like football and soccer to wear a coronavirus mask while playing. Folks, this is not even healthy. Professional athletes are exempt from having to wear masks during games, the governor says, clearing the way like for the Detroit Lions to compete without the encumbrance. But her executive order 180 amends last week's executive order 176 and addresses sports where players cannot maintain 6 feet of social distancing from one another. Face coverings must also be worn while training and during practices, local station WLUC reports. Section 7F of the executive order 176 suggests that professional sports are exempt, providing that they play to empty stadiums and comply with generally safe mandates. Isn't it amazing? So professional athletes, you're exempt, but all organized sport athletes competing in sports, football, soccer, you must wear coronavirus masks. Western Journal also saying that a physician assistant has penned a scathing op-ed in which he describes Governor Whitmer as a power-drunk autocrat who prioritized her authority over human life amid the coronavirus pandemic. Jordan Warnsholtz, in an opinion piece published by USA Today on Monday, wrote that he and other healthcare providers are suing Whitmer over her emergency orders, which he equated to a power grab that caused devastation, pain, and death to his patients after she unilaterally decided which health procedures and treatments were appropriate and essential during the state's lockdown. Warnsholtz described some of his patients as helpless with regard to essential medical services that he said were deemed illegal by Whitmer's orders. He said that the governor lacked the medical knowledge to make such sweeping decisions. He described treating an elderly woman who needed a routine procedure to restore blood flow to her leg. The procedure, per the physician assistant, was outlawed by the governor's orders and thus was delayed to the point where the patient nearly lost her leg. In another place, Warnsholtz blamed the death of a patient on Whitmer. He said, "One of my patients came to see me when he felt like he had nowhere else to turn. The governor's orders prevented him from getting regular treatment for his diabetes. By the time he came to me, he was in a full-on medical emergency. He told me about an odor coming from his foot. It turned out to be gangrene. His kidneys were in full-blown failure," he wrote. "The patient was rushed to the hospital but died from complications days later," per Warnsholtz. On treating patients under Whitmer's authority, he said, "Watching them suffer has been one of the hardest things I've ever experienced." He said, "No one should ever have to suffer like my patients have suffered from Governor Whitmer's illegal power grab," he concluded. Amazing. Amazing. And folks, the death toll that is going to come from people who were not diagnosed, who did not go in for screenings, or who are going to have advanced stages of cancer that things could have been caught earlier but were prohibited from getting such screenings in places all across this country. WND.com tells us that Whitmer made headlines earlier this year by seizing these powers. Empowered by the state's 1945 Emergency Powers of Governors Act that allows the governor almost unlimited power in times of emergency. Unlike Michigan, that's a coalition of Michiganders who oppose this power grab, seeking to collect over 340,000 valid petition signatures to put its initiated legislative proposal to repeal the Emergency Powers of Governor Act before the Republican-controlled Michigan legislature, which has challenged the emergency powers of Whitmer in court, according to Detroit News. If Unlock Michigan collects enough valid signature, the legislature could enact the repeal without Whitmer being able to veto the proposal, the outlet added. Some people are just saying enough is enough. Well, San Francisco Mirror is calling President Trump a terrorist in a plea to move on from Pelosi salon scandal. Western Journal says that San Francisco Mirror London Breed saying, "We have a terrorist. We have a dictator who is running this country. And Nancy Pelosi is at the forefront fighting against this person every day, you know. I'm not trying to excuse what happened. I'm just saying that to allow an issue like this to turn our city upside down when we got folks who are homeless, we've got people who can't open their business, including these salons, I understand," the mayor said. Well, security footage, as you know, we shared it last week, taken at this e-salon in San Francisco, showed a maskless Pelosi with her hair wet walking through ahead of a stylist who wore a mask. The House Speaker blamed the salon for making her look bad, saying the salon owes me an apology. This was a setup. Well, many feel differently, and they held a rally outside her house. We told you about that last week, putting up curling irons and blow dryers on a tree outside of her house. But that's not the only issue going on in San Francisco in Nancy Pelosi's district. Some private gym owners, this is from the Daily Wire in San Francisco, are incensed after learning that gyms and government buildings have been open for some time despite coronavirus lockdown edicts that have kept private gyms shuttered. When Danielle Rabkin from CrossFit Golden Gate reached out to police to offer them the opportunity to work out at her facility, she reportedly learned that they were able to do so at the San Francisco Police Department, Northern District Police Station. The Hall of Justice Gym, another facility where city employees frequent, they've been open since July 1st. When NBC Bay Area reached out to the city government for comment, they were told only that current health order does not allow indoor fitness gyms to operate, per the mayor's latest reopening announcement. Privately owned gyms have to stay closed until the end of the month. The gyms are the latest apparent coronavirus double standard for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's district. Black Lives Matter again at it. WND.com reporting that this is in Lower Manhattan last Friday night. Around 150 demonstrators, may I add the word rioters, at least five banks, two Starbucks stores, a convenience store, pharmacy sustained about $100,000 in damage from smashed windows, eight people arrested. Police reportedly found smoke grenades, burglary and graffiti tools, and two stun guns, according to the Post. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm supposed to say this was a peaceful protest, wasn't I? The new African Black Panther Party and the Revolutionary Abolitionist Movement sponsored the rally to drop the charges and demand amnesty for all. LifeNews.com telling us of a Baptist church put up a sign on their church marquee saying "Unborn Lives Matter." But guess what? Even that too was vandalized Monday morning in Braunston, Kentucky. The Post-Millennial reported that the sign outside the First Baptist Church of Braunston was vandalized with black spray paint to read. They went over "Unborn Lives Matter," and they put over it "Black Lives Matter," and saying, we fixed your sign. Pastor Tony Hall told Kentucky Today that he feels frustrated by the vandalism and praying for the person who did it. I've got a few more stories here after the break. A news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Back in 1 minute. James 4:14 poses this thought: "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, "But I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values." While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment.
But out of God's great love, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed his blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829.
It's a news roundup day here today on Crosstalk. Lord willing, Shahram Haidian with us tomorrow to remember 9/11. Newsmax.com, top police officers in Rochester retiring en masse amid criticism of the city's handling of the suffocation death of Daniel Prude. Mayor Lovely Warren said on Tuesday, Prude was a 41-year-old black man, died several days after an encounter with police March 23rd. Officers who found him running naked down the street put a hood over his head to stop him from spitting, then held him down for about 2 minutes until he stopped breathing. He died a week later after he was taken off life support. And the issue goes on where the Rochester, there's been many, many accusations and issues that have come out, but the New York police chief, LaRon Singletary, stated that the mischaracterization and the politicalization of the actions that I took after being informed of Mr. Prude's death is not based on facts and is not what I stand for. But he retired, as well as deputy chiefs have retired. More retirements may be coming. The mayor is blindsided, they are saying. Singletary was not asked to resign, but city council learned this at the start of a briefing, and that situation continuing. There have been a number of issues taking place in Rochester. By the way, the WND.com reporting a Democratic sheriff in Indiana publicly abandoned his party. This is Vandenberg County Sheriff Dave Whitting announced the switch last week outside of a business in Evansville. And the Evansville Courier-Press reporting that he was elected sheriff as a Democrat in 2014, again in 2018. But he said, I believe that the Democratic Party has lost its compass. He said the Democrats represented hardworking individuals, people who were just working-class American. They believed in values, family, and you've got to work to achieve. I think we've lost that in the Democratic Party. As one of the people who had nothing growing up and I've worked to achieve, I'm proud of where I was and where I am today. But he said, watching the daily burning of American flags, failing to be around, being able to use the word God in any sentence at most Democratic-led events, denouncing law enforcement as if we're the evil people, I'm proud of my profession in law enforcement. When people attack us, it's pretty insulting, he said. American Airlines policy allowing Black Lives Matter pins, and now they're facing backlash from their workers. One veteran flight attendant saying, I take offense to this, serious offense. My husband is a law enforcement officer, an LEO, as was my deceased father, as well as I'm concerned all lives matter. I'm completely disgusted at the fact that we can't show support for our God, our country, or our LEOs. Again, that's law enforcement officers. But when it comes to Black Lives Matter organization, American Airlines says that's obviously different. Kaepernick, yes, this is WND.com saying that former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick sacrificed his career because he wanted to make his country better. A USA Today sports columnist has given a major push to effort to put Kaepernick into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We'll have to see if that happens. LifeSiteNews.com, another issue here where the number of children born out of wedlock grew from just 5% in 1960 to 40% in 2019. American civil society facing a serious domestic threat. Marriage is declining, family stability with it. Between 1962 and 2019, the percentage of women ages 15 to 44 who were married fell by nearly 30%, according to a report from the Social Capital Project of the Congressional Joint Economic Committee Republicans. The number of children born outside of wedlock grew from just 5% in 1960 to 40% in 2019. From 1970 to 2019, the percentage of children living without one or both parents doubled from about 15% to 30%. The number of children living with unmarried cohabiting parents has increased by more than 10% in the past 50 to 60 years. Children born to cohabiting couples
are almost twice as likely to see their parents break up compared to children born to married couples, Wilcox said in a statement. Oh, this is refreshing. The mayor of Ashland, Ohio, dedicating his city to Jesus Christ. May this be a land where he rules supreme. This is hundreds of Christians gathered in a field in Ashland, Ohio, as ministry leaders and elected officials called the people to prayer and repentance. During the event, Ashland Mayor Matt Miller dedicated his city to Jesus Christ, and County Commissioner Emmett Justice asked God to forgive the nation for its rebellion against him. Miller proclaimed, "As I stand before you tonight in the bright light of his Son, to the extent I'm able, I give the city of Ashland to the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be a land where he rules supreme. May this be a land where his love is genuinely felt by believers and non-believers alike." According to Frontlines Ohio, 25 churches associated with the Ashland County Ministerial Association participated in the Call to Sacred Assembly at Freer Field. The event was organized as a response to the ongoing COVID pandemic, and it was noted that people were looking to politicians for answers when they should be looking to the Lord. A story out of Georgia, 1,000 people double voted in Georgia primary, faced 10 years in prison or $100,000 fine. This was the June 9th primary. Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced it Tuesday, saying it is a felony and vowed to prosecute. Very interesting story there indeed. And this from Western Journal. Democratic North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper vetoed a bill that would have made it easier to weed non-citizens out of the state's voter rolls in November of last year. But the bill would have cross-referenced state voter rolls with courthouse records, preventing those who are unable to serve on a jury because they were non-citizens from voting. Adding the new regulation, he claimed, created a high risk of voter harassment and intimidation and could discourage voters, discourage citizens from voting. But an audit of the 2016 elections, North Carolina investigators caught 41 voters who cast a ballot despite being a citizen of another country. Also in 2018, they found 19 immigrants from illegally voting in the election. Newsmax telling us the U.S. has revoked visas of more than 1,000 Chinese students and researchers under an order by President Trump that accused some of them of espionage, the State Department reported yesterday. The high-risk graduate students and research scholars made ineligible under this proclamation represent a small subset of the total number of Chinese students and scholars, according to the U.S., a State Department spokesman said. Nearly 370,000 students from China enrolled in U.S. universities in the 2018-2019 school year. Well, there's a lot of issues going on around world here as well. Let's open some phone lines, though. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Your thoughts, your comments on these issues here today. From the New American, Douglas Emhoff, the husband of Democratic Vice Presidential nominee Kamala Harris, works at a multinational law firm that consults for several companies owned by the Chinese Communist Party and that employs former CCP officials. His firm, DLA Piper, boasts of its nearly 130 years of experience dealing in China, as well as its team of 140 lawyers who make up a China Investment Services branch. Harris's husband has served as a partner in the firm's intellectual property and technology practice and its media, sport, and entertainment sector since 2017. Very interesting indeed. Newsmax reporting satellite imagery of a North Korea shipyard shows activity suggesting preparations for a test of a medium-range submarine-launched ballistic missile. Also, Iran, interesting, from Gatestone Institute, one day after the UN Security Council voted in favor of lifting the arms embargo on Iran, the ruling mullahs unveiled a ballistic missile that reportedly can reach the United States. Wow. Interesting indeed. And let's go to the phone lines today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Michael in Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to make a statement that when you do not have fathers in the house, a heavenly father in the house, you would get nothing but all this stuff we got now. This total corruption and breakdown. Hmm. And lack of respect for the law and everything else.
Yeah. Father, certainly the Heavenly Father, so important. And we know earthly fathers, God set up the family, a husband and a wife, and ordained that family institution. And
when we get away from that, Michael, we're due to have problems.
Absolutely, because my earthly father would never let me do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That would never go on.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael, for the call.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. David in Pewaukee, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I'll tell you, this Black Lives Matter thing is getting more and more intense. I know a woman who looked into this, I guess, University of Oshkosh, maybe some other state-run universities are doing this as well, but for sure Oshkosh is mandating a Black Lives Matter class as mandatory for every single student. And of course, those students have to pay for this class.
Hmm.
She knows specifically that Carroll College had a group of about 20 students. They actually called and asked in advance if it was okay to get together. And they had a gathering in an apartment off campus, a private apartment, and they were arrested, or not arrested, but the three students that organized it were expelled from Carroll College because they violated some oath of conduct regarding COVID.
Social distancing, no doubt.
Yep.
Or masking, okay.
And so they literally, they were seniors, and they're going to have to now, instead of being able to graduate, they've got to, they're basically kicked out for a semester for doing this.
Hmm. David, thank you for reporting that. And certainly there's a number of troubling issues going on this whole issue. But thank you for sharing that. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. I've got to share this story from LifeSiteNews.com because there are a number of people who have been taken in by Star Trek. Well, their Star Trek series is adding a non-binary and transgender characters, reports LifeSiteNews.com. And the introduction of the sexually lost in space roles engineered at the urging of GLAAD, the New York and Los Angeles-based LGBT media monitoring group. The actress who plays the non-binary character clearly feels as though she's on an urgent mission to indoctrinate the public in her new role. Our education system in the U.S. severely lacking LGBTQ plus subject matters in the curriculum, as well as resources for LGBTQ plus youth. Del Barrario said in a GLAAD interview, the characters alone would be an obnoxious liberal move, but the addition of GLAAD's involvement makes it worse, wrote Newsbusters Lindsay Cornick. Okay, that's going on with Star Trek. Again, our number to crosstalk, 800-733-9829. And we're going next to Charleston, Illinois. Tony, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Hey, I just called to say thanks for everything that you guys are doing. It's a real blessing to have somebody tell the truth for a change. Hmm. And I hope people's eyes will wake up. And what we need to do in this nation is pray back for God, because I really do believe that the Lord will allow Mr. Trump 4 more years of the presidency, and then after that, I believe the judgment upon the United States will come, and we deserve everything we get for turning our backs on him, on the Lord, and not taking him seriously, and the churches are going to sleep, they're not awake, they're not sounding the alarm like they should be, like the watchman on the wall.
Yeah.
And thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you, Tony, for your thoughts on, I'd say, you know, we're ripe for God's judgment right now here as a nation. We have turned our backs on God, and we're certainly ripe for that, and that's why many are even praying for God's mercy as it relates to this nation as we move forward. We're up against a break, so we're going to quick take the break, and then we'll come back to more of your phone calls here on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Last night on our town square here in Collierville, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis, Black Lives Matter showed up to protest a monument to the Confederate soldiers that died right there on the town square. The big Battle of Collierville, as it was known, during the Civil War. Well, Black Lives Matter, folks that aren't even from Collierville who organized this, want the monument that's been there since the 1940s removed. What is this? This is simply taking propaganda, brainwashing, and wrapping it around real history. The Civil War was not about slavery. It was largely about state rights, and particularly the big driving issue, as is always, money, economics. But today, people from the outside will come in and tell your community what you have to do. Tear down these statues. Next thing it'll be, tear down your churches. They're racist. Don't fall for the critical race theory that says everything associated with Christianity, the Constitution, and the free market system is racism.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, LifeNews.com coming out with a piece here talking about the International Planned Parenthood. They are not happy. So far, they have lost $100 million due to President Trump's discontinuing funding for the International Planned Parenthood. It's cost the abortion business over $100 million. Eddie is calling from Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air, Eddie.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call. We're thankful for this radio program. I just got a couple things real quick. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's vice president pick, she's raising money for Black Lives Matter. And she said, and I heard her say it publicly, right, and don't stop all the way to the election and beyond. And people should go to the Black Lives Matter website and actually see what they stand for.
Yeah, their agenda is shocking, and there are many who just have refused to do that, Eddie. But when you see the agenda that's behind it, it's not dealing with skin color, but it is very much a leftist, a socialist agenda that's behind it. And that's why one of the co-founders said, we are trained Marxists.
You're right.
Thank you for the call, Eddie.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Donna in Wyckoff, Minnesota. You're on the air.
Thank you for Crosstalk, and I would like to know how we can get the Ten Commandments back in the public schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of states that have enacted that, I understand, where some school districts have put them in, and I guess working through the legislature is the means or local school districts for that. But some states have actually enacted that to take place. I would suggest, Donna, to contact our friend Matt Staver at Liberty Council at 407-875-1776. And it's a great question there for Liberty Council. Thank you for the call. We've got Matilda calling in from Waukesha. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just want to say it upsets me to hear what's going on in our country.
Yeah.
And I urge that more people should start praying to God, so maybe God will hear and all this will come to an end. Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Indeed. Prayer is so critical. And friends, again, let me just urge you again to be praying daily for this nation. Be praying for those that are in leadership. Be praying for this election. As it's coming upon us. Let's go to Pasco, Washington. Benjamin, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make a comment on the Black Lives Matter movement.
Okay, and what's your comment here, Benjamin?
That these Black Lives Matter, not the Black Lives, but all lives matter in the hands of God.
Yeah, indeed. All lives do matter, don't they? Thank you, Benjamin, for your call.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye now. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Just wanted to remind everybody, with all this stuff being thrown around, racism, white privilege, by Black Lives Matter and Antifa, remember what the Bible says. The Bible says we are one race. Mm-hmm. Bible says we come from one blood. God made all nations of one blood. We're all one race, and we're all interfertile with each other. He calls prejudice being a respecter of persons for any reason, whether it's the color of your skin or whether you're rich or poor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
He says that's not good. That means it's bad.
Right.
And then as far as slavery goes, he calls it man-stealing, which is also evil, and he says that's worthy of death. So all of this stuff about trying to put it on Christianity and Jesus Christ, that it's all racism and all that, that's a bunch of hogwash. Read what the Bible says. Read your Bible every day because it'll change your mind. You'll know the truth, and you won't be taken in by all this hogwash.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye now.
And let's go to Nolan calling in from Ohio. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to comment. All these liberals want to give you a choice when it comes to murdering babies, but they don't want to give you a choice when it comes to health care. That don't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, can't have this procedure done. Thank you, Nolan, for raising that issue. Joe in New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to commend President Trump on the fact that he's cutting back on the Planned Parenthood and all those other little things that he's doing that I'm sure just line up with a scripture and taking care of Israel and all those other things and taking care of the little children. Because, they're real special for God.
Yeah.
And for speaking out that he's against it, and he's not afraid to say it as it is.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
I just like to say thank you, Jim, and all the staff at WBCY for exposing all the lies and everything going on. And I'd just like to say my children are from me, dad's side, and the mom's side, and grandma on mom's side is black and Jewish, and then had an Indian. So my kids are black and Jewish. You could say some of the most persecuted kids on the earth, but they were strong influenced with the Word of God. They all know Him, and through VCY, they were at the camp up there. And just like to say, God's made again, like in the Book of Acts, of one blood all nations on the earth. And then one more, there's no word race in the Bible. It's a people group. It's run the race for Christ. It's nations, kindreds, peoples, and tongues. Love you.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
David. Appreciate the call here today on Crosstalk. Our news roundup day here today. Again, running a day early due to the anniversary of 9/11 tomorrow. And let's go to Tennessee. Merle, you're our final call today.
Yeah, Jim. I just wanted to say the reason these governors and mayors, these Democratic governors and mayors, are holding the line like they are. If you want to move up in the Democratic Party, you have to hold the party line and agenda, and that's what they're doing. As draconian as it seems, that's what they're doing. If they want to move up, they got to hold the line. This directive is coming from the top, probably Obama. And also, you mentioned about Marxist trained. Nobody's asking who's doing the training. Soros is funding it. But remember Obama in Bill Ayer's living room, who was a domestic terrorist, their dream was to overthrow America just like this. So we got to go and find out who's doing the training. But thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you for the call here today, Merle. Well, friends, we're out of time for the broadcast today, and certainly our hearts are heavy with the issues that are going on across this nation. And again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. Although that was said to Israel, we believe certainly that there's application for us in a nation that submits itself to God. It's righteousness that exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.